life. I'm here to tell you today that God is good. Hallelujah. The book of James says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variance or shadow of turning. God is a good God. The devil's a bad devil. Hallelujah.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
As you, some of you may be aware, I kind of like that as well. And so it's really a great honor to have them. I believe Pastor Eric has a great word for us in season. So let's give him honor and let's make him feel Living Hope welcome, shall we? Come on up, Pastor Eric.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Good to be with you today. Amen. Come on up here, Michelle. Every time I've been here, I've never brought my wife. So this is my wife, Michelle. And go ahead, you can give her a hand. Hallelujah. She's more dangerous than me. Amen. And we're honored to be here with you today. And just trust God's going to do some great things. But we've been pastoring in the inner city of Buffalo, New York, which is one of the poorest cities in America right now. I forget where it lies on the list, but it changes year to year. But it's always in the top five or so of the poorest cities in America. And we've been there in January. It'll be 25 years that we've been pastoring there. Can't believe that. It's a long time. Amen. And at the same time, our heart is for missions. And so we're always reaching out in the world where God's called us. And so we're going to be traveling out to India soon. Michelle's been to Pakistan 7 times. We're planning her 8th trip there and going into nations where people need to be trained, pastors need to be trained, and people need to be reached with the gospel. And I love India because there's nothing greater than going into a village where people have never heard the name of Jesus ever before. And imagine that. And going in there and preaching the gospel and then seeing a church planted. There's still close to 500,000 villages, I think, in India that have never heard the name of Jesus. And so we're heading out there soon, but I thought I'd give my wife a chance to just share a little bit and set the stage, amen, for what God's going to do.
That could be dangerous. Do you want this back? I'm just joking. So I just want to say thank you so much again for having us here today. We really, really appreciate it. It's a really big blessing for us to be here with you and with your church. And I was really excited that I got to come with Pastor Eric. He doesn't let me out much. So so I don't know. I guess he thought it was safe for me to come here with him. No, I'm just joking. I actually don't travel a lot in the States with my husband, Pastor Eric, only because I'm gone a lot overseas to other countries. So when I'm home, I like to be home in Buffalo with my kids, my family, and with our church family. And I also work a lot with the inner city kids in our church. And so I just like to be there. But I thought, you know, I haven't been gone in a little while and I was kind of getting itchy feet to go out. And so I'm really excited to be here. And I met your pastor and his wife at the NRP conference and some things. And so I just thought it'd be a really great opportunity. So, and I just want to encourage you that this week, as I was praying for what God's going to do today, I had the word that God gave me was expectation. Have great expectation for what God's going to do. And I can see from what your pastors shared and other people came up that you guys expect God to do great things in your life. It was so awesome to hear the testimony about the person that got healed in your church and you guys out at Planned Parenthood this week. And it's just really awesome. We need to have great expectations for what God is going to do. And when from traveling in other countries, I see that people in other countries, they always have a great expectation of what God is going to do in their life. And sadly, I see that in the North American church, sometimes we don't have that expectation as much as we should. At least I feel like that in my own opinion. Expect means to anticipate or to confidently believe or to confidently wait or await for something to happen. And that needs to be our attitude towards God, the anointing, the presence of God all the time, to confidently believe that God is going to show up when we're here in his presence on Sunday morning. Some people just come to church on Sundays and they just come to fulfill their obligation as a Christian. But when we walk through the doors of our church every Sunday, we need to come with anticipation and we need to be confidently believing that God is going to move in a powerful way. And I believe that's what's going to happen here today. Amen. I just think of a couple times when we've been overseas where people have showed up at our meetings with great anticipation. They are desperate for God to turn their life around. I was thinking of the one time we were in India. We were preaching in a village in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we probably drove like 2 hours on dirt roads to get there. There was like barely any electricity. They had like a little lamp hanging from, I don't know, some kind of post, one light bulb. And then I remember we finished the meeting and we had our whole family there and our kids. They walked back to the van. And Pastor Eric and I, we were just walking down the road. And these two men came and dropped a third man like right in front of us. He was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. And it looked like he had had a stroke and we couldn't communicate with him. Our translator was gone. Our kids were in our van, which is way up ahead of us. And so, but this man, he was confidently believing that God would do a miracle in his life at that moment. He was desperate for God to do something. He had great expectation that God would touch him. So his two friends dropped him right in front of us and then they just left. They just like left him sitting there, you know, because they were confident that God was going to do something, I guess. So I don't know. So anyway, so Pastor Eric and I kind of looked at each other and we're like, well, let's pray for him, you know? So we bent over, we laid hands on him, we prayed the prayer of agreement over him, and he got up and he walked away. And God totally instantly healed him because he had great expectation. Hallelujah. He was confident that God was going to touch him in that moment. Amen. And I'll just share one more story with you. The very last meeting I did when I was in Pakistan, it was a really big meeting. It wasn't even supposed to be as big as it was. It was just outside of Lahore in a Muslim community. They had rented a hall. We had to have a lot of security for it because it was a little bit of a dangerous area. And 2,500 people showed up for this meeting. So they expected about 500 to 600 people. But I'll tell you, the people in Pakistan, as hard as it is for them to live the Christian life, they are hungry for God. They are hungry for God. The Muslims are hungry for God. And that meeting is proof of it because there was a whole row of Muslim women sitting off to the side towards the front, no shame in all their burqa and their full headdress, but they came to that meeting knowing that people were outside of that building watching them go in to that meeting because they were hungry for God and they had expectations that God was going to do something in their life that day. And those women, they brought flowers, they got up on stage in front of everybody, they presented me flowers and hugged me because they had high expectations that God was going to do something in their life. So anyway, we had the meeting. It was a really awesome meeting. It was very, very hot in there because I think it was only supposed to seat about 500 people. It wasn't much bigger than this room here, but they had like 2,500 people crammed in there. Everybody was sitting on the floor, wall to wall. Like there was no aisle. There was no altar room. I mean, people were crammed up against the stage, but we preached the love of Jesus, shared the gospel message. Lots of people gave their lives to Jesus. Oh, yeah, and there was no AC either. So just like to set the scene, shared the love of Jesus. We had an awesome meeting. And I'll tell you, I was exhausted by the end of the meeting because I had to wear their shalwar kameez with like long sleeves and a head covering. And so it was very hot and I was very, very tired. And I just like wanted to get out of there. I was like, I am heading home to see my family tomorrow on the airplane. I want to go back to my hotel room. I want to pack my bags. legs. I just want to leave. You know, of course, all the pastors are talking on the stage. And when the meeting's done, our stage gets bombarded with like 200 people. And, you know, when I was preaching, it's already wobbly. So I'm thinking, why are there 200 people on this stage? You know, and I wanted to leave so bad. And this woman, she runs up, she pushes through the crowd, and she brings her girl to me. Her girl's about 14 years old. And she says, and she couldn't speak very good English, and I don't know, my translator was like over there with the pastors talking. And she says, she's not listening, you know? So I'm not really in the spirit at this point. Sorry, but I just wasn't. I was tired, and I wanted to go home. But anyway, she's not listening. So I'm thinking, well, is she being rebellious? Like, you know, do I need to pray against rebellion? She's not listening to her mom. She's not obeying. I'm like really trying to figure this out with broken English and Urdu, and it wasn't working too well. And then all of a sudden, I realized that the girl was deaf and she couldn't speak. And her mom was desperate for something to change in her life. She couldn't hear and she couldn't speak. And her mom was desperate, but her mom also had expectation. She had confidence. She was confidently believing. She was anticipating that God was going to do something right there in that moment. So I laid hands on her and prayed for her. And it's like, it wasn't like the worship team was there and the anointing was there. You know what I mean? Like there's an atmosphere sometimes where it's like really easy to minister to someone. I wasn't really feeling it at the time. I just laid hands on her, prayed the prayer of faith and agreement with that mother, and the girl got totally healed. It was so awesome. It was so incredible. First of all, she could hear, and she got the biggest smile on her face because she could hear noises, and then she like was covering her ears because of how loud it was in the place. It was so cool. And then when we prayed for her voice and for healing to come to her tongue and the devil to lose her tongue, for the first time in her life, her mother heard her say, "Mama." That was about all she was able to say in that moment, but she said, "Mama," and tears were streaming down that mother's face, because for the first time in her life, she heard her daughter say, "Mama, Mama." So by then, of course, all the pastors were around and they had like their Facebook Live out, and you know, they're trying to capture the moment or whatever. But all I'm saying is I can stand here today and say that in that moment, I didn't even necessarily anticipate myself, which I had to repent of later. I didn't anticipate or have full confidence that anything was going to happen because I was tired. I was kind of in the flesh and I want to get out of there. But that woman with her daughter, she was fully anticipating and had all confidence in God and that he was going to turn that situation around. And so I'm just going to end with that. And I just want to encourage you today. If you came here today with any kind of situation in your life that needs to be turned around, put your confidence and anticipate that God is going to turn that situation around. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Maybe we can just all lift our hands to the Lord right now. Michelle, pray right now for people that need that turnaround. They need a miracle. They need God to do something. Possibly, I know as a pastor, I don't even know all the needs in my congregation. Sometimes I think I know everyone and all their needs, but there might be people here today with something they've never shared, something they've never told anyone, and they just need a touch of God in their life. Just lift your hands to him right now, and let's just believe God for you today.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, I thank you so much that you have brought us here for a reason today, Father. I thank you for every person that is in this place today, that it's no accident that they are here, Father. And right now, I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here today. And today, we just expect that you are going to do great things in our lives. We put our confidence in you. We anticipate, Father, the great things that you're going to do in us and through us. We are fully confident. We believe in you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for every promise that's in your word for us, your sons and your daughters. I thank you that I can stand before you now and call myself your daughter, a child of the living God. And I thank you because of that, I have a covenant with you, Father, and I thank you for every promise that's in that covenant that's for me, Father. I just thank you for it. And I thank you that as we hear your word today, that we will just be encouraged, that you will build up our faith, that you will stir something up inside of us. And I thank you that you are going to turn situations around here today in this place as we put our confidence in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, give the Lord a big praise. Amen. Big hand. Hallelujah. Michelle helped me minister to people today, too. She's really good at casting out devils. So if you've got one, you can be free today. Amen. All right, go to Proverbs chapter 4. I'm just going to share with you a little bit. When I first started preaching out of Bible college, I wanted so bad people to like my messages and tell me I did a good job preaching. And I was a little insecure. And I think that's normal. But now that we've been preaching for over 25 years, I've learned something. I'm just going to preach till Jesus shows up. Amen. And I believe he's here right now, but I'm waiting for him to show up in a special way to touch your life today. Sometimes I'll preach 15 minutes, sometimes a little longer. I don't know. But I just don't always get through all my message if Jesus comes in this place in a special way and touches lives. And we've been on a mission at the Dream Center. We're known for our work in the community. But we've been on a mission about a year ago, year and a half ago. The Lord spoke to me as a pastor, and he said, I want you to create a culture of miracles and of prosperity. And I want you to preach on those two things. I preached for months on financial prosperity. You have to understand, Buffalo is one of the poorest cities in America. Two-thirds of our congregation is under the age of 20. And we've got busloads of the homeless and people coming in that are poor. And I believe God will bless you wherever you're at. Amen. You know, your pastor talked about turkey hunting. We don't got that going on. Amen. And but wherever you are, whether you're in the country or in the city or in a poor place or a prosperous place, I believe God can prosper his people. So we began preaching on that and teaching on it. People began to get promotions one after another. People were getting promotions on their job. People were getting jobs. People were getting raises. We were also believing God for nobody in the church to have to work on Sunday morning. We put our faith out there for it, that bosses would have a change of heart, that there would be changes of schedules. We had people get up and give testimony that I've been working Sundays for years, but my boss called all the employees in. I remember one lady said the boss called all the employees and said, from now on, we're closed on Sundays. And we are believing God for those things. The other thing was miracles and healing. I think that people ought to come to church, and when someone doesn't get healed, it ought to be a surprise. We should have healing and miracles all the time. And there's a reason, I'm going to get into this just a little bit, but there's a reason that I've seen in North America why we don't have it to the extent that we should, but we've been putting our faith out there for it. Just recently, we had a little mom and her little girl come to church. And you could tell they were unchurched, and I don't even know who invited them to church, but they came, and the little girl was blind in one eye. Michelle laid hands on her, and she was healed on Sunday morning right in church. Amen. God opened her eye in about 20 seconds. And her mother has been, how many know when God does something like that, her mother's back in church the next week. Amen. Hallelujah. And they kept on coming out and were ministering to the whole family now. I shared that story just recently. I was with some other pastors, and the conversation started going on why we don't see miracles in our churches, why we don't see healing, why we don't see the things that we hear about overseas. Like Michelle talked about stories of Pakistan and other places. And I told the story of that little girl that God opened her blind eye, and it was almost as if I was from another planet. The pastors looked at me just kind of like, I don't know, kind of strange, and they changed the subject. I don't know if they really wanted miracles or not in their church, but I believe that when you preach the word, signs and wonders should follow. Amen. We have many Muslims in our community, and we've been reaching out to them. I remember a Muslim man, he got healed. I can't remember what he got healed from. Something in his stomach. But I had a word of knowledge, and God touched him, and now all of his kids come to our after-school program, Muslim kids. And so miracles bring people to the Lord. Amen. And they're a blessing to the people in the church. So I just want to share with you a little bit from Proverbs chapter 4, and then we're going to lay hands on some of you today that might need a touch from God today. Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." How many know and realize that Jesus taught us that the kingdom of God is based on increase? It's based on increase. In the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus taught about the kingdom, he said, "For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head." In other words, if you're living for Jesus, there should be things added to you, and your walk with the Lord should get better and better. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. And a lady over here. Hallelujah. Things get brighter and brighter. I'm not saying you don't have problems, but if you're pursuing God, he's working to increase your understanding of his kingdom and how he operates. You should be further ahead in your walk with Jesus than you were 5 days ago. I've told Michelle, just on the car ride up here, I said, I feel an increase in my life, especially over the past 2 or 3 years. Of things that God has done because I've pursued him to a greater degree. It's a kingdom principle, and it's working in you. Everybody say it's working in me. Amen? What's my job? My job as a believer is to be led by the Spirit, yield to his work in my life. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk into the old mess that I was in and that I came out of before Jesus. I want to move forward. How many want to move forward? And yeah, I want increase in my walk with God. So the writer of Proverbs tells us, look in the next verse, verse 19. He compares the believer with the unbeliever. Proverbs 4:19, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." But then he talks to us as sons and daughters in the next verse, verse 20. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." How many know from the New Testament, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Amen. That's how we get faith. Verse 21. "Do not let them..." Still talking about the word of God, his word. "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." So the word of God should be in front of my eyes. That's talking about reading the word. But the word of God should also get in my heart. That's talking about meditating on the word. Are y'all here? All right. You're quiet on me today. All right. In Buffalo, someone would have tried to attack the altar by now. Amen. So we got to keep the word in our eyes, and we got to get the word in our heart. Now, what happens when the word of God gets in your heart? There's a working of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. See, the word of God gives God something to work with. That's why if the only word you get is when you come here on Sunday morning, you'll never experience the increase I've talked about. You need to get in the word for yourself. Be here every time the doors are open. There's a special event tonight where there'll be more word. Whenever there's a Bible study or a small group or Pastor Doug calls people in for any other reason, I don't know about you, but I'd be here in the front row ready to get more of the word. Amen. Because the word of God in my heart, don't miss this, the word of God in my heart gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. That's right. Then all of a sudden he can do a work in me that he couldn't do before. But what we like to do is just come and say, God, do something in me. And God, by his grace, by his mercy, many times he'll move and he'll do something. But as we mature in the Lord, God wants us to eat his word. God wants us to devour his word. God wants us to be in church every time the doors are open to get the word of God in our heart to give him something to work with. Amen. That's important to get the word in there. When the Holy Spirit begins to work, there's two things that he does when you get the word in your heart and he begins to work. It gives you the ability to do two things. I'm sure it does more, but I'm just concentrating on these things today. The first thing is you can now be led by the Spirit. It's tough to be led by the Spirit when you don't have the word of God in your heart. There's a lot of people saying, God told me to do this, that, and you know God didn't tell them to, because you could just go to the word and know that that's not right. So you have the ability then to be led by the Spirit, and the second thing goes along with it, you have the ability to hear the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Romans 8:14 tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the what? The sons of God. So God is working in you when you get the word of God in your heart. God is working on you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're becoming more and more like Jesus. You're growing in him. The kingdom is based on increase. I'm increasing in knowledge. I'm increasing in wisdom. I'm increasing on the anointing of God. I'm becoming more and more like him. Isn't that what it's all about? How many want to be more like Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to be more like him. If you're pursuing God, this is what's happening inside of you. So what God is revealing to us from just these few verses in Proverbs is this. If I'm pursuing God, my eyes are on his word. The word is in my heart. Now I am led by the Spirit. I know the voice of God. It will not matter what the devil shouts at me because the word is in my heart. Hallelujah. Now, I have a concern. I've been in ministry for 26 years. We traveled and preached before we planted the church. So although I'm still young, I think I have the ability to look at some things in the North American church as I travel and preach and see things that I think are problems. Number one, we've removed the Holy Spirit from our churches because we are seeker sensitive and we don't want to offend people. So we don't pray in tongues. That's number one. It's amazing to me. I was in a Pentecostal, full gospel church. I know the pastor. He's a friend of mine. There was about 200 people in the church, and I had an altar call for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and 70 people came up. Thank God for that, but there's something wrong. We've eliminated the Holy Spirit. I was in a church as a guest speaker. And just before worship started, there was the announcements were up on the slides. Some churches do that way, and it's fine. But the announcement, the one slide came up and said, what you can expect today, our service will be less than 1 hour. I didn't know that. Amen. Time constraints are one of the biggest hindrances for the moving of the Holy Spirit. We found at the Dream Center that when God is moving, people don't care what time it is. If God's moving, people don't care. We've had inner city kids come and to the altar, cry out to God. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. If God is moving, even that little inner city kid that's 6, 7 years old with no attention at all, when he gets captured by the presence of the Holy Spirit, he'll want to be there too. Amen. Amen. And if God is moving, then we don't care. But what we've done, what I've seen, this is what I've observed, is we've removed the Holy Spirit. We don't speak in tongues. We don't manifest the gifts of the Spirit. We're afraid of offending someone who might be there for the first time. And because we've done that, and to think we know better than God. Two, Holy Spirit, we don't want you here, so our church will grow. When the opposite is true. If the Holy Spirit shows up and God starts touching people's lives, the opposite is true. We've eliminated that. We've also cut back on the word. When you expect a 20-minute sermon, that's not much word. And when your pastor has something that God's given him, but everybody said, well, it's time to go, time to go, time to go. And he can feel that when he's preaching, that there's people wanting to leave because the time is up, then it hinders what God wants to do. We need both things. We need the word and we need the spirit. Amen. And Paul said that he came not preaching out of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. So when we preach the word of God, there should be miracles that happen. There should be signs and wonders. God should be changing people's lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Recently, we've had God open blind eyes, deaf ears. We had a woman that was told she's going to die. God totally healed her of cancer. Amen. She's alive today and comes to church on Sunday, praising God for her healing. And listen, it's not me. It's not Michelle. It's Jesus that does it. But we had a mandate that God said, I want you to create a culture of miracles. And now let me tell you what's happened in about a year afterwards. I'm just telling you our story. About a year of concentrating on this. People are now coming to church expecting God to do something. See, we used to have to get everybody going, and it would take about 20, 25 minutes for the worship leader to kind of get everybody going, cheer everybody on, get everybody to the place they need to be, get them pumped up. But what I noticed is after about a year of concentrating on this, that people are coming in the front door, and they're ready when service starts. They're saying, I'm ready for God now. Amen. And so we've been purposely doing this. I've been preaching on healing as much as I can. I saw what God did with the finances. I praise God for people getting raises. How many know the pastor likes that? Amen. Hallelujah. We'll be able to do more. We'll be able to reach more people. I told you 2/3 of our church is under 20 years old. We got a lot of kids, a lot of poor folks. But God's changing their lives. Last year, we gave 1/3 of our income to foreign missions. 33% of everything that came in went to foreign missions. That's true. Hallelujah. Every year it increased and increased. So how could you do something like that? Well, when we give, God's blessing us. God's touching people's lives. God's changing people. We've been in the inner city now for 25 years. So those that are ushering, those that are on the worship team, those that are driving the bus, most of them used to be kids that came out when they were little, and now they're adults, and we don't have to teach them. Now that you got a job, you tithe. They give. They go on missions trips. We had a 5-year-old little boy get on the bus years ago to come to our after-school program. Grew up in a housing project on the east side of Buffalo. Never thought he would ever leave there. Never thought he'd ever venture just a few blocks from his home. But now he's been to India and Guatemala and Honduras, and he married my daughter. Amen. Hallelujah. And I got grandbaby number 2 on the way. Praise God. But we've got to come, like Michelle said, with expectancy. And we have to put a priority on the word. And we cannot hinder what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Now, here's the other thing I found. I don't know if Pastor Doug sees this, and we'll talk about it later, I'm sure. But I found that churches that do move in the gifts tend to lean towards certain gifts, leaving others out. In the circles that I've been in, for example, prophetic gift is operated in. But the power gifts of healing, miracles, and faith are very often not demonstrated. Thank God for prophecy. Thank God for those things. But we need to demonstrate the power of God to people. People that don't know Jesus, people that come into our churches broken, people that come with a death sentence on their life that they've been given 6 months to live, but we have the power of God in us because we've been digesting the Word, we've been meditating on the Word, the Holy Spirit now has something to work with, and so because they come into an atmosphere of believers that are expecting God to do something, can you imagine that death sentence is removed, they are healed, and I'm telling you, they'll be so dedicated to what God is doing. Amen. But if you've got that word and that spirit working in you, then the devil can come all he wants and say all he wants. But you have the word of God. You know greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. How many know that? Amen. You've got your shield of faith. You say no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me shall fall. When the devil tries to take you out, you know that God is watching over you, that he walks with you, that he talks with you, that he lives inside of you. Hallelujah. You know that God is with you. Why? Because you have the word of God in your heart. Hallelujah. And this is where I get to what's been bothering me. What's been bothering me is that people say one thing, that they believe one thing, but they act a different way. Especially in the area of healing. People say they believe God heals, but then on the other side of the coin, they talk like if they don't expect that he'll do it. And their confession is all wrong. One thing that bothers me more than anything is to lay hands on someone and pray for them, and as soon as you're done, their confession is bad. You believe Jesus touched you? Well, you don't understand the pain that I have. Just be quiet. The best thing to do is be quiet. Don't nullify what God does by your bad confession over your life. But people say they believe it, but they don't. I made a statement in my church. It bothered people. A few months ago, I said, God doesn't use doctors. That bothered some folks. Bothers some of you here. But he doesn't, not to bring divine healing. Crickets, crickets, hallelujah. Not to bring divine healing. I'm not against doctors, but doctors can only help you with the knowledge that they have, and that wisdom does come from God. That's true. But to bring divine, supernatural healing comes only from one place, from Jesus, amen. So a doctor can help you, and many times just relieve the symptoms, but to get healed supernaturally from God, you need Jesus. Hallelujah. You need Jesus. And then people say to me, well, God's putting me through something. God's testing me, Pastor. That's why, well, then if God's testing you, don't come up for prayer. Can you pray for me? I believe the Lord's putting me through this. Well, then I'm not going to pray for you because I'd come against the Lord. People are funny. They say one thing and that they believe one thing, but they really don't. So, well, I believe the Lord's teaching me patience. Then why are you on medication? Then you're working against the Lord. Hallelujah. If you believe the Lord's done it, then you shouldn't be on medicine because God's doing it. But of course, that's not true. Healing is from God. Amen. That's why we like working with kids, because kids understand that God is good and the devil is bad. Kids understand that. We've messed that all up. As adults, we've messed it all up. We've made it religious. We have what some preach as the doctrine of suffering. I've heard it told this way before. You got a believer walking down the street. This believer's walking down the street and Jesus, he's hiding behind a rock. And he sees the believer coming and Jesus got an angel with him and he says, watch what I'm going to do to this guy when he gets close. And that believer gets close to Jesus. Jesus jumps out from behind the rock and he beats him with a stick. Some of you are laughing, I know, because the picture is crazy. And he just beats him and he kicks him and the believer falls down on the ground. And the angel says, Jesus, why'd you do that? He said, don't worry, I'm just beating him up so I can heal him later. That's a doctrine of suffering. That God does bad things to you for his eternal purpose in your life. I'm here to tell you today that God is good. Hallelujah. The book of James says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variance or shadow of turning. God is a good God. The devil's a bad devil. Hallelujah. Michelle teaches that in the children in the inner city and they all understand that. So then she says, I'm going to name some things. You tell me who it's from. She says, sickness. And all the kids shout, the devil! But not in adult. Adults are, I got to think about that one. I'm not sure. What about Jesus' stripes? What about the Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. Before Jesus went to the cross to purchase your salvation, he went to the whipping post to purchase your healing. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is good, and it's time that we demonstrate it to the community by the word of God and the power of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We were in Guatemala. And I was preaching in a church in Guatemala, and there were missionaries there. They were Baptist missionaries. Thank God for the Baptists, but some things they got wrong. They believed some wrong things. If you're a Baptist, just hang with me. I'll show you. There was a couple there. They were missionaries, Baptist missionaries, sweet people. I forget what diseases she had, three or four things. Maybe my wife, but my wife was there. She remembers. This is a true story, but I can't remember all that she had. But through word of knowledge, God shown me three or four things she had. And she said, well, yes, yes. How do you know? I don't know. Only God knows. And so we laid hands on her and prayed for her. And she was immediately healed in that meeting of those ailments. One, two, three, four, whatever she had, she was completely healed, rejoicing. She said, now I have to change my theology. That's what she said. Those were her words. Her and her husband help run a medical clinic in Guatemala in a remote area where people bring in the sick and they help them with the any kind of care that they can do. I don't know if they always have a doctor, but they try to do what they can do to help people with minor things. So I got the missionary that I was working with got a phone call from her and said, we'd like to bring this little girl so Pastor Eric and Michelle can pray for her. She's never heard or spoken. How old was she? Michelle, eight or 9 years old. I said, well, bring her to the meeting tonight because I know I've learned one thing, that it's easier to pray for people under the anointing. So she came to the meeting that night, her and her husband, former Baptists, amen. They were Baptists 3 days prior, but God had been doing something in their life. And so they came to the meeting. They brought this little girl and her mother. This little 9-year-old girl had never heard or spoken. We preached the word of God that night. God first ministered to the mother and to some other people. But then my wife and my daughters began to pray for the little girl. They prayed for her probably about 20, 25 minutes. And one thing we've learned with little children is they get nervous in big meetings when everyone's staring at them while they're being prayed for. So while they prayed for her, I prayed for others and I did other things, giving them time to minister to the little girl. After about 25 minutes, her ears popped open. Hallelujah. And you could tell because she started looking around at all the noise. She was hearing worship music for the first time in her life. That's why they call it the working of miracles. I'm never nervous. If it takes someone a little while to receive, it's the working of miracles. And sometimes it takes a little work to get the miracle. So they prayed over her. Her ears popped open. The next thing was, we're going to pray for her to talk. And so they took authority, just like Jesus did in the Bible, over a mute spirit. And that's one reason we don't see healing, because we don't take authority over demonic spirits. The devil is real. I've learned that in every instance, almost, I'm just going to say, in every instance now I do this, someone with cancer, we come against a spirit of infirmity every time. And we've seen more results doing that than we just did praying in faith for God to heal. And so there's spirits at work sometimes behind these sicknesses. And so they laid hands on her, they prayed for her another 15, 20 minutes. They kept trying to get her, say, mama. And she would just kind of look at them and smile. Say, mama. But then after about 20 minutes, she let out, mama! And her mom began to weep and to cry because for her whole life, she never said it. Amen. And then she said other things. Then she said Dada. And then she said Jesus. And then we were just testing it out to see what God had done. We were making noises and she would turn her head and God healed her. How many know that Baptist couple? They're never going to be the same. Amen. They can't wait for us to come back, they said, to Guatemala. But the Word and the Spirit working together is what we need in our lives. We need it in our church. We need it as we do missions. You need it as a believer. You need both things working together. So if the only word you get this week is when you came here this morning, that's not enough. You need to be hungry for the Word of God. Get the Word of God in your heart. Meditate on the Word of God. Grab a scripture and read it and read it and read it and get it in your spirit. The Bible says that your only offensive weapon against the devil is the sword of the Spirit. And how many know that's not the Holy Spirit, that's your spirit. Look it up. It's not the sword of the Holy Spirit. It means spirit, small s, this your human spirit. When you get the Word of God in your spirit, it becomes a weapon against the devil. Amen. The devil's been at my front door before, trying to get into my life. But because I know the Word of God, I've been able to stand against him. When Michelle was in Pakistan, she had a couple of close calls. She was in a place where the Taliban were. She was in a place where, I thank God for my wife. She's very courageous, and I want her to do what God's called her to do. So people say, how can you let your wife do that? I can't hold her back. What am I supposed to do? Amen. And she goes out and does these things, but I remember getting a text, pray right now. We're at a checkpoint. If they see me in the car and they ask for my passport, we're in big trouble. And so at that moment, I almost wish she hadn't sent the text. I almost wish she didn't tell me about it and got someone else to pray for. But fear stood at my front door. And fear tried to get in my heart. But I know the Word of God. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. And so I would not let that fear come in. And I prayed. Michelle said, the authorities looked in the vehicle. They asked for ID from every person except for her. She said, Eric, it was as if I was invisible and they didn't even know I was there. Amen. And they just kept on going to preach the gospel. Praise God. When the Word of God is in your heart, you give the Holy Spirit something to work with. And he flows in you and through you to others. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many thank God that he still does miracles today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We were in India, in a village in India. Some of these villages you go in, they've never heard the gospel at all. We went to one village. We were scheduled to be there 2 nights. As we drove into the village, it was infested with insects of every kind. How many have seen Indiana Jones and you saw that? You know, with all the different bugs. That was some of you didn't raise your hand because that was the Temple of Doom and Christians aren't supposed to watch that. Amen. But anyway, because the guy gets his heart ripped out and everything. But it's a good movie. All right. And so they have that one scene with all those bugs. That's how it was. But it was my wife and I and our five kids. And we got to this village, and it was infested with bugs. Not just one kind of bug. Thousands of varieties of bugs. Just insects crawling everywhere. Flying everywhere. It was an infestation. We got up on the stage. The chairs that we were supposed to sit on, you couldn't see them. There were so many bugs crawling all over. We had to wipe off the chair. I was sitting in the chair fighting off bugs, waiting for my name to be called to preach. And my daughter, who's in Guatemala right now, preaching the gospel, she's 18 years old, and she moved there. She said, "Dad, I'm going to do what you told us to do your whole life. When you're not married, you don't have a car payment, you don't have a house payment, go do something for Jesus." Amen. So she's in Guatemala right now. But I remember she was just a little girl, and she looked over at me. We were in that bug-infested village. She looked over at me, and she began to scream, "Ah!" and to point her finger at my shoulder. I looked at my shoulder, and there was a bug. It was like a little man. He was standing here like this on my shoulder. He's about that tall. And I brushed him off. When you preach in India, you preach barefoot. And so I was on the stage barefoot, and beetles this big were crawling over my toes while I was preaching. Every time you took a breath to say a word, about 100 of them would get sucked in your nose and down your mouth. And it was just everything to get through that meeting and get in the car and get out of there. We had to go back for night number two. So we prayed. I said, "Lord, you've got to help us." I believe it was a witchcraft thing, because I'll tell you what happened. We were pulling out of that village, driving down the road. No vehicles go down that road, but we were in our vehicle. And our driver, who was a Hindu, he slammed on the brakes of the van, and he began to argue with the pastor in Telugu. And Telugu is a very harsh language, so it sounds like even when they love each other, it sounds like they're arguing. And they're arguing with each other. I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "There's a curse across the road. Broken coconuts and different things across the road from the witch doctor in the village." And my driver said, "Pastor Eric, if we drive over that, it is the curse of death to everyone in this truck." And I said, and he'd been watching the miracles. Our Hindu driver had been watching the miracles. He's saved, by the way, now. Amen. But he'd been watching the miracles and seeing what God is doing. And I said, "Vera." His name's not really Vera. It's Vera Mani something or other, but we call him Vera. I said, "Vera, our God is greater. Drive forward." He said, "Yes, sir." Hallelujah. And we drove forward, and we prayed, and the next night we came, not a bug, not a mosquito, not anything was in that village. And we preached the gospel to those people. Amen. And they saw God do miracles. I remember we called people up with arthritis in a village in India. And women that were crippled with arthritis were all healed. What I'm saying today is that God has two things. You need two things in your life. You need the Word of God and the working of the Spirit. When you have both of these things, they're a powerful combination. We need them in our Sunday service. You need them in your life. You need them in outreach. You need them for yourself personally. But you need them so that you can be an effective minister to others. Hallelujah. Let's all stand to our feet right now all over this place. We're just going to take a few more minutes. Praise God. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, that this church is a word church. I thank you, Father, for Pastor Doug, that you have given him an anointed word every Sunday, that we're not gathering together out of religious duty, but we're gathering here on Sunday morning because there's a word from you that we need in our heart. And when we receive that word, when we meditate on that word, when we get that word down deep in our spirit, it gives you, Holy Spirit, something to work with in our lives, that we can be led by you, hear your voice. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. There's not one member of this church that is disqualifying themselves from getting the word, because everyone loves their pastor. No one's gossiping about their pastor, talking bad about him behind his back, because he's the one who delivers the word. He's the one who brings us the word. And so if I come here into church and I already have put myself in a place where I can't receive, what good is it for me? I thank you, Father, for the gift that you placed here at Living Hope. We thank you for Pastor. And we thank you, Father, that every week he seeks after you and you give him a word. Father, that word is not just a sermon we sit through. It is something designed by you for us that when it's poured in our spirit, Father, that the Holy Spirit can then come and begin to do a work in our hearts that he could not do without that word getting in there. I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you, Father, that if I have been obedient to you today and I've preached your word, Father, that right now, in the next few minutes, all over this place, there are people that are expecting that you will do something. Father, I thank you right now that you'd heal people in their bodies, that you'd touch people in their mind. I thank you, Father, for marriages that need a touch from you in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for turning financial situations around in the name of Jesus. Father, that you would do something right here, right now, in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for anybody here that has any kind of pain in your body, in your joints, in your legs, your arms, your neck, any kind of pain. I'd like you to come right now. Come out of your seat and just stand up here. We're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. My wife is coming too, and we'll just form one line. We're going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you in your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services. And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.